Imagine stepping outside your house in Illinois. The sky is a bruised greenish purple.
Oh, that classic severe weather sky.
Exactly. The tornado sirens are blaring, and suddenly a hailstone the absolute size of a cantaloupe smashes straight through your roof.
Sounds terrifying, honestly.
Right. Now imagine your phone buzzing a minute later. It's your insurance company calling, but instead of canceling your policy, they're cheerfully informing you that they are actually dropping your rates.
It sounds like a glitch in the simulation, but that scenario captures the exact state of the global risk market right now.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We are unpacking the bizarre trillion-dollar paradox sitting at the heart of the Spring 2026 Insurance Industry Digest. We've custom-tailored this analysis just for you because, well, the surface-level numbers in this report are incredibly deceptive.
Yeah, they really hide the full story.
Totally. If you just skim the headlines, you see record profits and dropping premiums. But beneath that calm water, the entire architecture of how we calculate risk in the modern world is actively fracturing.
It's basically a tectonic shift happening under the surface.
Exactly. We are talking fundamentally new weather patterns, massive demographic shifts, artificial intelligence moving money without human oversight, and a bizarrely tragic highway incident in Wyoming that perfectly illustrates how fragile this all is.
The contrast is just jarring. I mean, you have global commercial insurance rates falling by 5%.
Wow, 5%.
Yeah, and that marks the seventh consecutive quarter of price declines across the globe.
And property rates in the United States dropped by 10%. Some catastrophe-exposed businesses are seeing price cuts of up to 16%.
Okay, let's unpack this because my immediate reaction as a business owner is extreme suspicion.
Sure, you'd think something is wrong.
Right. If a store throws a massive store-wide discount sale right as a Category 5 hurricane approaches the coast, I don't think I'm getting a bargain.
You'd assume they're liquidating.
I assume the store knows something I don't,
No.
or their forecasting is completely broken. Why the massive discount when the actual physical risk in the world feels so incredibly high? Well, the answer lies in the mechanics of reinsurance.
Reinsurance.
Yeah, it's basically the insurance that insurance companies buy to protect themselves.
Okay, got it.
You can think of it as the industry's massive global shock absorber. For the primary market rates to drop, that shock absorber needs to be fully extended and comfortably capitalized.
Okay, so how do they get so comfortable?
Mostly by avoiding the massive headline-grabbing disasters. In the first quarter of 2026, global insured catastrophe losses came in at around $20 billion.
Which sounds like a lot to a normal person.
It does, but that is a staggering 26% below the decadal average. Because we didn't see multiple catastrophic coastal wiping hurricanes early on, these massive reinsurance funds just swelled with unspent capital.
And capital hates sitting idle.
Exactly. When reinsurers have huge reserves, they compete fiercely to deploy it, which drives down the cost of coverage for primary insurers. Those primary insurers then pass the savings on to the consumer.
Which explains the discount sale. But, you know, we know the weather isn't actually getting calmer. The digest specifically points to a climate transition from La Nina to El Nino conditions by mid-2026.
Yeah, the atmospheric chemistry is changing, and so is the location of the damage. Traditional coastal hurricanes are no longer the only mega threat to these funds. The digest highlights a fundamental shift in loss drivers towards severe convective storms, or SCS.
Wait, let me stop you there. Are you saying a severe thunderstorm over the Midwest is now costing the industry more money than a massive named hurricane hitting Miami? That doesn't make intuitive sense. How is that mathematical possible?
It comes down to frequency versus concentrated severity. A hurricane is a single massive withdrawal from the global insurance bank.
Right.
But a severe convective storm is death by a thousand cuts. The Digest details a massive outbreak of these storms right in the middle of March.
The March 10th to 12th one.
Yes, spanning Texas, Oklahoma, the Kansas City area, Chicago, and Ohio. That single multi-state storm system caused $8.5 billion in insured losses.
That's insane.
And that is the exact system that produced a record-breaking 6.6-inch diameter hailstone in Illinois.
A 6.5-inch chunk of ice falling at terminal velocity? I mean, that goes straight through a roof deck.
Oh, absolutely. And it shreds commercial HVAC systems, destroys massive solar panel farms, and, you know, totals entire dealership car lots in seconds. In 2025 alone, hail measuring over 2 inches impacted 600,000 properties nationally.
No.
We are talking about $177 billion in reconstruction cost value sitting right in the crosshairs. So the models are flashing warning signs. The industry realizes these storms are no longer a, quote, secondary peril. They are the primary driver of everyday losses.
Which brings us back to the paradox. If you own a business in the eastern edge of that hail corridor, your pricing right now is artificially low.
Completely artificial.
You're getting a premium break based purely on the fact that global reinsurers had a quiet quarter on the coast, completely masking the fact that your physical risk of a freak Midwestern storm destroying your warehouse has never been higher.
The pricing reflects recent financial momentum, not the looming meteorological reality.
So the models for physical weather are failing because the climate is changing. But when we pivot to the human side of the ledger, the models aren't failing because of nature.
No, not at all.
They're failing because of demographics and congressional gridlock. While commercial property rates are artificially falling, the cost of keeping yourself healthy in 2026 is becoming a systemic crisis.
We are looking at an unprecedented affordability shock.
Let's look at the catalyst here. On January 1st, 2026, the Enhanced Affordable Care Act premium tax credits officially expired.
Right. And it's important to note this wasn't really a planned policy decision.
Exactly. This wasn't a policy failure. It was purely a mechanical one. Following a historic 43-day federal government shutdown, Congress simply didn't reach an agreement to extend the subsidies.
Just ran out of time.
The deadline hit, the subsidies evaporated, and the math just reset.
The immediate financial impact on the individual policyholder was brutal. Average net premium payments across the board skyrocketed by roughly 114% overnight.
Over double the cost, just to maintain the exact same health plan you had the month prior?
It's staggering.
The Digest actually isolates Wisconsin as a microcosm to show how this plays out in real time. In Wisconsin, the average gross rate across exchange plans jumped almost 23%. Within weeks, marketplace enrollment in the state dropped from over 306,470 people down to roughly 289,213.
17,000 people in a single state looked at the new premium, realized the math was impossible, and had to walk away from their health coverage.
So what does this all mean for the listener? Well, if you are one of the millions of Americans getting squeezed off the ACA exchange right now, you aren't vanishing from the healthcare system.
You still get sick.
Right. You just stop going to a primary care doctor for preventative care. You wait until your illness is unbearable, and then you are forced into the emergency room. It's like a demographic barbell. Younger, lower-income folks are dropping coverage, but what happens next?
Well, it creates a devastating feedback loop for the entire healthcare infrastructure. Hospitals are legally required to stabilize patients regardless of their ability to pay.
Right, the EMTALA law.
Exactly. When an uninsured patient receives emergency life-saving care but cannot pay the bill, that generates massive uncompensated care costs for the hospital. The facility still has to pay the surgeons, the nurses, and keep the lights on.
So the hospital takes a massive loss. And to balance their own books the next year, they have to negotiate higher reimbursement rates from the insurance companies.
Which forces the insurance companies to raise premiums again the following year. The underlying human risk didn't disappear when those 17,000 people dropped their coverage. It just mutated and transferred its financial weight directly onto the hospital system.
It is a demographic crisis on one end of the spectrum. But if you look at the other end of that barbell, we see the exact opposite reality. We see the wealth accumulation side. In 2025, total U.S. annuity sales hit a staggering, record-breaking $461.3 billion.
The contrast could not be sharper. While younger and lower-income individuals are dropping coverage due to sticker shock, older generations are pouring hundreds of billions into specialized retirement products.
Break down the mechanism here. Why annuities and why now?
To understand the boom, you have to look at what an indexed annuity actually does. Traditional life insurance is mortality risk. It protects your family financially if you die prematurely.
Makes sense.
An annuity is the inverse, is longevity risk. It protects you from the financial danger of living too long and running out of money. You hand the insurance company a lump sum, and they guarantee you a steady payout for the rest of your life.
It's like buying a personal pension.
Pretty much. An indexed annuity specifically ties your growth to a market index, like the S&P 500, but provides a hard floor. So if the market crashes, you don't lose your principal.
It's the ultimate financial insulation, and the demand is exploding because of the demographic math. You've got 4 million Americans turning 65 every single year right now.
The baby boomer generation is fully transitioning into retirement, and they want certainty. But this creates a profound headwind for traditional life insurance. The Digest notes that life insurance premium growth is drastically slowing down.
Because the life milestones that normally trigger someone to buy a 30-year term life policy, getting married, buying a first home, having a child, they're happening much later in life, or not happening at all. Birth rates are down globally.
The traditional pipeline of 30-something parents buying life insurance is just drying up. So the massive carriers are being forced to pivot their entire growth strategy.
Where did I go?
They've saturated the baby boomer market over the last decade, so the new, highly targeted demographic sweet spot for 2026 is Generation X.
Gen Xers turning 60.
Exactly. The carriers are aggressively pivoting their marketing algorithms and product design to capture the Gen X wealth transfer as they approach retirement age.
So to recap, the industry is caught in a vice grip. On one side, physical property models are being shredded by cantaloupe-sized hail in places that aren't supposed to see that level of damage.
Yeah, completely unexpected zones.
And on the other side, human risk models are dealing with younger populations dropping health coverage and older populations demanding infinite retirement payouts. How do underwriters handle that sheer volume of complexity without their math falling apart?
Well, by fundamentally removing human underwriters from the equation. The industry is currently moving artificial intelligence from a neat experimental phase into aggressive, hard production.
Here's where it gets really interesting. In February 2026, OpenAI officially approved the first insurer-built ChatGPT application.
In Insurify.
Yeah, in Insurify. The moment that press release hit the wires, publicly traded insurance broker stocks tanked. The market completely panicked. So my question is that panic justified? Are human insurance agents about to go the way of the 1990s travel agent, just entirely rendered obsolete by an app?
What's fascinating here is that panic oversimplifies a much more complex technological shift. We are transitioning from generative AI to agentic AI.
What's the difference?
Generative AI is what we've had for a few years. It reads a 50-page policy and summarizes the text for you. Agentic AI, however, actually takes independent action. It has agency.
Explain how that works in a real-world scenario.
Okay, so previously, if you got into a fender bender, an AI might read your police report and flag it for a human adjuster to review. An agentic AI system reads the police report, calculates the liability, cross-references your specific policy limits, approves the payout, and physically wires the funds to the local body shop without a human being ever clicking an approve button.
That is a massive leap in capability, and the money is pouring into it. The Digest states the agentic AI insurance market is growing by 26% in a single year, hitting $7.26 billion.
It's an astronomical growth rate.
McKinsey even found that AI leaders in insurance generated 6.1 times the total shareholder return of AI laggards over a five-year period. But if the technology is that good and that profitable, why isn't it an extinction-level event for brokers?
Because the world of commercial risk is incredibly messy. Small and medium-sized enterprises, or SMEs, still have incredibly complex physical and liability risks that require nuanced human structuring. A chatbot can't walk a factory floor.
That makes sense.
But the truly fascinating part is how AI solves the industry's biggest historical problem. The black box.
The black box being the mystery of why your premium suddenly goes up and nobody can explain the math to you.
Historically, yes. The algorithm would spit out a price and the customer would feel cheated. What we're seeing now is the rise of explainability. When an AI system can instantly, transparently, and clearly explain the exact variables that led to a specific premium increase down to the decimal point customer behavior changes.
Oh, because they see the actual logic behind the number.
Right. The data proves that when consumers understand the mechanics of their pricing or their claim payout, they dispute claims far less.
So transparent AI removes the friction. It saves the insurer millions in legal and loss adjustment expenses just by calmly explaining its own math.
It creates trust through transparency. However, this heavy reliance on advanced automated AI opens up a terrifying new vulnerability. The Digest notes that global cyber insurance premiums grew 7%, reaching $15.3 billion.
Cyber is huge right now.
It is.
Yeah.
And ransomware is still a massive threat. But the new nightmare keeping cyber underwriters awake is something called vendor concentration risk.
I want to make sure I understand this. It's like having every single bank vault in the world use the exact same model of lock, manufactured by the exact same company. It is incredibly efficient for the banks, right up until one hacker figures out the structural flaw in that specific lock.
And then what happens?
Then suddenly, every single bank on the planet is robbed on the exact same afternoon.
That is the perfect analogy. Every major insurance carrier is now running their brilliant new agentic AI underwriting tools through the same three or four massive cloud and tech vendors. A multi-day tech outage at just one of those central vendors is no longer a localized IT issue.
It's a systemic contagion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It could cause simultaneous, exponential financial losses across the entire global economy. So in their rush to manage property and demographic risk with AI, the industry has effectively created a massive, centralized point of failure.
Which is the ultimate irony. But, you know, it also brings us to my absolute favorite part of this digest. Because for all the talk of billion-dollar agentic AI systems, wiring money, and systemic cyber concentration risk, the reality of insurance is still governed by strict, physical, and sometimes incredibly absurd human interactions.
Oh, the physical mechanics of risk never go away.
Let's talk about the odd claims corner. The date is April 13th, 2026. We are on Wyoming Highway 230 at 5:20 in the morning. A guy named Tim Weiland is driving his 2004 Volkswagen Passat.
Just a normal morning commute.
Right. Out of nowhere, he swerves to miss three moose standing in the road, only to slam directly into a fourth moose that he didn't see.
And the report specifically notes it was a yearling moose, which, from a purist standpoint, hitting a moose is statistically 13 times deadlier than hitting a deer, owing to their mass and center of gravity.
13 times deadlier. So Weiland is incredibly lucky just to be breathing.
Very lucky.
He survives, climbs out of the shattered window because his doors are smashed in, and surveys his completely totaled Passat. A local game warden arrives on the scene, confirms the animal is dead, and tells Weiland something very unique to state law. He tells him he can use the state's 5.11 mobile app to legally claim the carcass for the meat.
It is a highly pragmatic, deeply Wyoming solution to a catastrophic loss.
Weiland figures, look, my car's destroyed. I might as well get a freezer full of premium moose steaks out of this disaster. So he downloads the app on the side of the highway, fills out the digital paperwork, and gets the official state authorization certificate.
But there's a logistical problem.
Yeah, a VW Passat cannot haul a 1,000-pound animal. So he and his fiance leave the scene to drive back to Laramie to get a pickup truck and a trailer.
And this is where the mechanics of insurance contract law come into play in a really weird way.
Because when they get back to the crash site with the truck, the moose is gone. Someone drove by, saw the carcass, carved out all the premium meat and stole it, leaving Weiland with a destroyed car and a stolen moose.
The ultimate loss-on-loss arithmetic.
It is absolute double jeopardy. I was genuinely laughing reading the report, but I immediately thought about the legal loophole here. Weiland had the state certificate from the 5.11 app. He legally owned that meat. So why wouldn't his auto or personal property insurance reimburse him for the value of the stolen moose?
It is a brilliant question, and it serves as a masterclass in how underwriting actually works. Insurance doesn't cover a piece of paper. It covers physical property under your control.
Okay.
The denial of that claim comes down to the absolute strictness of three concepts: insurable, interest, possession, and effective dates.
Explain that to me like I'm a five-year-old. Why wasn't he covered?
So Tim Weiland had a totaled vehicle claim ready to file. That is straightforward auto coverage. He also possessed a state-issued digital certificate authorizing him to claim the carcass. But legal authorization to take something is not the same thing as physical possession of the asset.
Ah, because his physical hands weren't on the meat yet.
Exactly. In the eyes of the underwriter, that meat was still legally in the wild. In that tiny window of time, that gap between filing the digital paperwork on the highway and returning with the pickup truck, he had not established physical possession.
Oh, wow.
Because he didn't have possession, he hadn't fully assumed the insurable interest. The coverage cannot effectively attach to an asset you haven't physically secured.
So somebody else assumed the risk and the meat before his policy could cover it. Timing is literally everything. That two-hour gap between paperwork and pickup left him totally exposed.
Yeah, there is no standard market policy on earth that would have made him whole on that second loss.
The Wyoming moose gap. But, you know, that concept, the gap between human paperwork and physical reality, brings up a massive question about where this is all heading. We talked about AI systems wiring money instantly. What happens to the Wyoming moose gap in the future?
It might disappear completely.
Right. The digest gives us a massive clue in a brief mention of something called parametric insurance, specifically regarding Hurricane Melissa and the World Bank.
Parametric insurance entirely bypasses the traditional concept of an adjuster verifying damage. It operates on algorithmic certainty.
When Hurricane Melissa hit, the Jamaican government secured $650 million in liquidity almost instantly. They didn't have to wait for inspectors to verify the roofs that blew off. they used a parametric catastrophe bond.
A parametric policy doesn't care about human proof.
It just auto-pays the exact second a predefined data trigger is hit.
Right. If the wind speed sensor registers 150 miles per hour, or the ground motion sensor hits a specific threshold during an earthquake, the data hits the server, and the smart contract executes immediately. The money moves before the storm even finishes passing.
It completely sidesteps the messy human element of proving your loss or establishing physical possession, which leaves us with a final, slightly unnerving thought for you to mull over as we wrap up today's deep dive.
Let's hear it.
As agentic AI and instant data triggers take over the entire industry, what happens to your personal risk? Will the future of your insurance be handled completely in the background by invisible algorithms?
Is it a real possibility?
Will your policy auto-pay the exact moment a localized weather sensor detects a 6.6-inch hailstone hitting your roof, eliminating the need for you to ever call a broker?
And if that happens, what do we lose?
Exactly. If we completely remove the human element and the strict physical mechanics of proving what you lost, are we building a perfectly efficient system, or are we just creating a brand new, highly concentrated black box?
We are definitely moving from a world of manual human verification toward total algorithmic certainty. And honestly, the implications for personal privacy and localized risk are staggering.
They really are. Thank you for joining us on this custom-tailored deep dive into the Spring 2026 Insurance Industry Digest. I highly encourage you to pull out your own policies this week. Look at your deductibles and your premiums with a new perspective on just how much is fracturing beneath the calm surface of the market. Keep an eye on the weather, watch out for the moose, and we will catch you next time.